Call the Legislative Council meeting to order. Today is June 25th, 2019. It is 2:03 p.m. And call the roll, if you would, please, Jessica.
Senator Coghill.
Here.
Senator Costello. Senate President Giesel. Senator Hoffman. Senator Stedman.
Here in Ketchikan.
Senator Von Imhoff. Speaker Edgman.
Here.
Representative Foster.
Here.
Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Kopp. Representative Thompson.
Here.
Representative Wilson.
Here.
Vice Chair Stutz.
Here.
Chair Stevens.
Here.
9 members present.
Thank you for being with us, everyone. I appreciate your interrupting all you're doing to make this meeting some important things we need to deal with. And I begin by moving on to the approval of the minutes and asking Representative Stutz for a motion.
Happy to do so, Mr. Chair. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the minutes dated May 6th, 2019 as presented.
Thank you, Representative Stutz. Any corrections or additions to those minutes? If not, they're approved as read. And moving on to the committee business, the first one is the LIO hours of operation. And again, Representative Stutz, for a motion, please.
Certainly. I move that Legislative Council return all year-round LIOs to full-time operation during the interim.
Thank you. And I will object for purpose of discussion. I ask Tim Powers to come forward, if you would, please, to give us a brief explanation and history of this request. Thank you for being with us, Tim.
Thank you. For the record, Tim Powers, Manager of Information and Teleconference for the Legislative Affairs Agency. I just wanted to fill the committee in on the background of the LIO's operations and some cuts that have come down to us over the recent few fiscal years. Starting in FY16, the LIOs were reduced by $358,000, which resulted in the Barrow and Kotzebue offices going from 12-month offices to 6-month offices, as well as information assistant positions in Fairbanks and the Mat-Su LIOs also being reduced from 12 to 6-month positions. 8 moderator positions in Juneau were reduced from 5 to 4 months, and the Academy paper pool was also at that time to make up the balance of the 358,007. The next year in FY17, the LIOs were further reduced by $298,000. Legislative Council moved that all year-round LIOs close at noon on Fridays. This was equated to, or compared to, the court system's half-day Friday closure, in which the entire court system closes, not just one staff section, such as the clerk's office. In practice, it hasn't been practical. It's been confusing for public, legislators, staff, anyone wanting a teleconference on Friday afternoons. We've got to fill those requests during over that period. When that cut was handed down, 17 employees were reduced from 12-month positions to 11.3-month positions. When you calculate out the reduction throughout the year, results in a 6.1 reduction in annual salary for those 17 staff. In a more immediate manner, it's a 10% reduction salary on check when that was in effect. It has had multiple issues, morale, employee retention. Thank you. On the short term, on the paycheck, it is reduced by about 10%. Leave accrual is also reduced. Health insurance is not affected, however. But on the long end, we had many longtime employees who were nearing retirement. And when this cut was handed down, the net effect of a 6.1% reduction in annual salary is the equivalent of 2 step increases, which when you're in longevity is the equivalent of 4 years of work. This set back many employees near retirement, back multiple years in earnings, which require 4 years additional time worked just to get back to where they were, for counting towards their high 3 or high 5. And so we have had many problems with morale and retention. To my list, just a second. So since the cuts started, we've lost information officers in Barrow, Cordova, Glen Allen, Kenai, Kotzebue, Sitka, Unalaska, Valdez twice. We've also lost administrative assistants in Juneau and Anchorage, an information assistant, a second one in Anchorage as well. This in total is 14, and we're going to add a 15th. Our Barrow Utiavik LIO is currently vacant. We'll be recruiting this interim for that position to come online in December. So 15 resignations since FY15. And if you compare that to the prior 9 years before the cuts, we only had 8 vacancies over 9 years versus 15 over 4 years now. So employee turnover has increased drastically since then. We've continued to show fiscal restraint in our staff section, even with these cuts. We continue to work on lowering our overall costs. We've had many projects in the works. The iPads that we use for committees had cellular data turned on in those as a backup to the Wi-Fi. We turned that off for savings of $10,000 a year. We've upgraded the digital teleconference phone circuits, which further reduced our cost of operating teleconferences like this, $17,680 per year. We did turn on geographic call blocking to prevent people in Juneau from calling our toll-free number, which is a Juneau phone number. We also added an Anchorage local access number to reduce that long distance as well. And those are going to save $1,000 to $2,000 a month just by keeping people from dialing a long-distance number. It's a local option available for them. And the list can go on. We've lowered our cost on printing. The pocket directories formerly were printed professionally here in Anchorage through a print shop. Our print shop has taken those on. We print those now for 11 cents a copy in-house, doing the design ourselves, versus 33 cents a copy when it was produced here in Anchorage. Additionally, that would require a contract for, say, 13,000 copies is the contract we go out for. We can call the print shop and say we need 4,000. And then if we run out, do on-demand printing versus having to commit to a number and then ultimately recycle multiple thousand copies of that document at the end and they're not distributed. And we've also done the same with the DOSO. We removed the photo cover, and that reduced our per copy charge or cost from 75 cents to 50 cents per copy. So we're still looking at ways to save money, and we've been doing a pretty good job of that. In FY16, we lapsed $226,000. FY17 was down a little bit. We only lapsed $35,000. And then FY18, back $190,000 lapsed. We're looking at about $200,000 for the current fiscal year that's about to end. I believe that is it for what I have to present to you. We're looking to restore the LAO's hours of operation to full-time. We're not looking for money to fund that. We have money in our current budget to take care of that. Just looking to have our offices open 37.5 hours a week in line with all of our counterparts throughout the rest of the agency so we can continue to assist.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. I appreciate your giving us the background and all that information. What do you see as the benefits to the public in taking this action?
Sure. So the LAO functions as kind of the person you call for help when you need help with the legislative process. For many citizens out there, they're not in tune with the nuanced proceedings of the legislature. They think they see in the news one vote means something passed when it actually only passed out of one committee, the first committee of referral. It does take education for the public so they fully understand how the legislature operates and ultimately what it means for a bill to get passed, especially with all the hot topic issues that have come up in recent years. We have seen quite a few increases in our usage over the last few years. In 2017, we implemented an online chat service on the website, which is just a little widget that sits in the lower right-hand corner. The website, when you're on it, you can just click on the box and be immediately connected with one of our information officers from around the state. Since its inception, the first year we saw about 2,300 contacts come in through that chat service. 2018 was down a little bit with just over 2,000 contacts. And so far through 2019, we're at about 1,660 chats. We're about 77% of the way met on our annual average for that. Just being available for the public so they have someone to turn to talk to. If they have a question about a bill, you can call us up. It's not advertised. It's not on the website anywhere that only one staff section closes for half of a day on Friday. The rest of the agency continues to operate. So when members of the public think they can get help on a Friday afternoon and they give us a call, they're going to get an answering machine. Give them a call back. Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Representative Stutz, and I have a couple questions at your opportunity.
Yes, please go ahead, Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple questions, and I noticed that this motion was for full-time only during the interim. Do you anticipate going back to the part-time situation when the legislature is in session?
Currently, are you referring to the session-only LAOs?
Yes.
So the session-only LAOs do still operate 6 months out of the year, December through May traditionally. They can be open for special sessions if they're available and it works for their schedule as well as the timing of the special session. This wouldn't affect any of those six-month positions.
Maybe I didn't understand you or I didn't ask the question properly, but it says the motion is to return all year-round LAOs to full-time operation during the interim. They're not at full-time operation during session, are they?
We, through the chair, we do operate full-time during session.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is, if I might, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Representative Stutz.
Is you mentioned a lot of loss of jobs. I think you said 15 or 16. Were those all the resignations you received, were they people quitting, or were any of them because they retired?
Give me just a moment to look at this list of positions. Some of them spanned prior to my time in this position. I believe three of the positions were due to retirements. Just looking at this list off the top of my head, but I can further look into that information if you'd like.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Stutz. Thank you, Tim. So we've talked about the impact on the public, and what about the impact on legislators? I understand that right now we could not call a committee meeting on Friday afternoons. Is that true? We wouldn't have availability of the audio conference. Is that right?
Currently, Senator Stevens, this Friday you could. We're actually hosting the PFD working group here in Anchorage, LAO on Friday. Due to the short time frame between the first special session and the second special session, it didn't make sense, especially from an HR standpoint, to modify everyone's schedule in the IRIS system and then go back and redo that a couple weeks later. If this motion does not pass, once the special sessions have wrapped up, we will settle into the interim schedule and there will be no teleconferences or meeting stream available on Friday afternoons.
Right. Thank you, Tim. Any further questions, Tim, while we have him here?
This is Brooke Wilson. I have a question.
Yes, Ramsey Wilson.
So you said that you already had the money in the budget. So was your budget increased this year?
Our budget was flat.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out. It sounded like you said that this would actually be a cost of an increase of around $298,000. So I'm just trying to figure out how you have that money in your budget if it's flat then and we didn't have anybody in the interim before.
Representative Wilson, through the chair, those numbers that I was citing were our lapse numbers, the money that we have not spent over the years through the other cost-saving measures we've been doing. So, I mean, we're on pace this year to lapse about $200,000. I believe the cost of this motion would be roughly $107,000 of that, going towards keeping the offices open 7.5 hours a week.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to verify because it's been cutting out on my phone here, even though I'm in my office. So it's a cost of about $107,000. Is that correct?
That is correct. That'll be the increased employee expenses.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Thank you, Representative Wilson. Any further comments or questions, thoughts to share with us? I think the biggest concern I have is that when the staff is not there on Friday afternoons, my staff has to take care of those issues instead of doing the things that we should be doing as people walk in and ask questions. So, Jessica, any comments you have or any recommendation you have on this motion?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director. I think that this is something that has needed to happen, as Tim mentioned. There have just been severe morale issues. You know, it's a matter of fairness. The rest of the agency gets to be open and continue to get paid for that extra half day on Friday. And under Tim's leadership, he's done a phenomenal job on decreasing costs and just trying to sort of come up with ways to be more efficient and cost less money. And I think having the staff able to work full time like the rest of the agency is a really good use of the budget.
Thank you very much, Ms. Geary. Any further comments or questions? If not, Jessica, would you call the roll?
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Speaker Edgman. Speaker Edgman.
Yes.
Okay. Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Vice Chair Stutes.
Yes.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
So 8 yeas, 1 nay.
So the motion passes, 8 yeas, 1 nay. The other two issues, just so everyone knows what's happening, I know some of you may have to bail out for other responsibilities, but we'll be doing the hardware refresh and the Governor Egan bust. So we've dealt with that issue, and let's move on to the annual hardware refresh. And Representative Stutes, could we have a motion on that, please?
Certainly. I move that Legislative Council approve the FY20 hardware refresh expenditure of $149,836 out of existing capital funds.
Thank you, and I'll object for purpose of discussion and ask Tim Banasek if you'd come. Oh, you're already there. Tim, thanks for... I'm so pleased we have all these Tims in the room. It makes life so much easier. But thank you, Tim, for being here. If you'd then give a brief explanation of what this request entails.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the record. My name is Tim Banaszak. As you mentioned, and the IT manager for the legislature, and we appreciate you, the vice chair, and the members of the council dialing in today to help us just take care of some business that we can't proceed with without you all. Considering this. So on behalf of the Legislative Council's IT subcommittee, we're offering the following FY20 hardware end-of-life equipment replacement recommendations for your consideration. 21 laptop workstations that replace models dating back to 2011, 12 our new tiny workstations that we use, 35 of those, 20 color printers that again replaces some going back to 2011, and finally, 38 monitors. And as the vice chair noted, its cost for this year is $149,836. And some things that might be helpful for the council to be aware of is that this is consistent with the three-year technology plan, and it's based on a five-year or older equipment replacement cycle in order to manage upkeep costs, as well as maintain reasonable performance and address obsolescence and manage security risks to an acceptable level. The IT subcommittee technology recommendations are also first integrated with the hardware that we all use now in the mobile workstation initiative that eliminates the computer equipment being shipped back and forth between session and district offices twice a year. Secondly, it applies a phased approach to standardizing one color laser printer for each office, reducing the maintenance and toner costs. And then finally, thirdly, it's cost efficient. It leverages governmental contract volume discount pricing that we use in the legislature as well as the executive branch and the court system, judicial branch as well. So we're able to leverage the buying power of the state of Alaska. With that, Mr. Chairman, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. Any questions of Tim on this issue? I appreciate that thorough discussion. We've got to keep up to date here. No further questions. I'll ask Jessica if you'd do a roll call, please.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Sedman.
Yes.
Speaker Edgerton.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stutes.
Yes.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
So with a vote of 9-0, the motion passes, and we'll move on to the final issue, which is the Governor Egan bust. Again, Representative Stutes, if you'd make a motion, please.
My pleasure, Mr. Chair. I move that Legislative Council award a contract to artist Roy Paradovich to commission a bronze sculpture of Governor Bill Egan in the amount of $19,000.
Thank you very much, Representative Stutes. I'll object for purposes of discussion and just note that we had appointed a committee, the Capital Art Subcommittee, and it met on May 11th and went through the proposals and selected Roy Paradovich as the artist. Senator Coghill is the one who brought this issue to the council and has been working on it for some time. And so, Senator Coghill, I'd ask you if you'd talk a little about the project, how it came about, and maybe any detail that you'd care to talk about from the, from our subcommittee. Please go ahead, Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Chair Stevens. In dealing with the 60th anniversary of the legislature, I thought long and hard about how do we commemorate it and still honor one of our, first governors. And Bill Egan came to mind, and I talked to his son, Dennis Egan, and asked if he wouldn't mind that I put this forward to ask, could we put a together for Bill Egan to put it in the foyer of the legislature. He agreed. So then I came to you and brought the same question up, talked with both the rules chairman, and we found by looking that there was a group, Eagle Bronze Inc., out of Wyoming, that could do it, and we found that Roy Paradovich, who did the bust for his mother, also could do it. And so we had a couple of bids drawn up. Roy comes in at a very good price, a little lower than the one from Wyoming. However, there's a new new sculptor who would be willing to do it, who is less experienced, would do it just a little under what Paradovich did. In my view, I pushed for Paradovich mainly because of the historical context to which Roy brings and the fact that he's starting to get physically infirm that this may be one of his last sculptures. So that was my push. I think it was a good way to honor our first, actually, the chairman of the Constitutional Convention and our first governor. And probably because of the passing of my dad, I probably got pretty sentimental about the whole thing.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Coghill. Could you talk a little about the historical context of Mr. Paradovich, his background, just so everyone is aware of it.
Sure. Well, his mother was one of the civil rights activists. His dad was in the Constitutional Convention. He's been a sculptor on a couple of the things, but his probably claim to fame is the sculptor of his mom right there in the legislative halls. So he's been a steady, good Alaskan for all these years. comes from good family stock, and it would bring probably a pretty good historical value to not only his sculpture, because sometimes people remember what you who the artist was. Some people look at the artistry. So he's the first native civil engineer that was licensed here in Alaska. So there's just a lot of firsts with him and a lot of deep history.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. Any discussion, any questions of either Senator Coghill or discussions on the entire project on what we're trying to do here? Well, thank you, Senator Coghill. I really appreciate your doing this. It would not have happened without your giving everyone a push and looking into this and getting things moving. So I certainly appreciate that. If there's no further discussion, I'll remove my objection and ask Jessica to take a roll call, please.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Sedman.
Yes.
Grudgeman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stutes.
Yes.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
So by vote of 9-0, we have passed the motion unanimously. Is there anything further to come before the body at this time? If not, we will adjourn at 2:29. Thank you all very much for being with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.